Hey, welcome in, everybody. Happy Wednesday. Brought to you by Metro Rooter. Mike Dempsey, Mark Long from the Associated Press. Fat Tony here with you on Jaguars Day. Tony, are you looking at Mark Long?
I'm having some equipment issues. I'm having a lot. Who the heck sat in this chair? It had to be either Pete or Brissette.
I mean, it's Helmets and Heels night last night, right?
The girls on the road. Stop.
Were they on the
touching
road
the chair.
Yeah, they were at Jackson Social, correct?
That's true. Because I was looking at the board. There's no message for me.
Joe,
Donna
who
Murphy.
Was last in this chair, please? Is this
Logman?
When? What the hell, Logs?
When was that? Monday?
Monday. Yeah.
I mean,
Monday.
Okay, listen. The seats it's like in a reclining position. The armrests are way up high. And it's really down. It's like down low.
The microphone looks a little awkward too.
Well, the microphone doesn't. It wobbles. I've had trouble every day that I've ever been in here with this microphone. I can't get this part to stay. It like wants to do that. So therefore, instead of me like relaxing and being able to sit back and enjoy myself, I'm always
you should be
like
up and attentive.
I don't want to be up and attentive.
Always.
Why would I want to be up and attentive?
Are you kidding me? Logman sits where Tony's sitting.
Yeah.
On Tuesdays, it's like musical chairs. Tony sits there on Tuesday.
I do.
He sits there on Wednesday. It's I'm always here.
I never change. At any rate, I hate my seat.
I don't. Fortunato, get out of here. I do sit there. That's right, on game day. I sit where Tony's sitting right now. So we all have our
preferences. I sit in the same spot every week.
You do.
I'm a creature of habit.
You are. And maybe you should try mixing it up based on the results so far today.
This doesn't look any better, by the way.
You came in today. You asked me if I was still happy, Mike. I'm not happy, Mike, but I'm not unhappy, Mike. You are Mr. Sunshine today.
I'm not. Listen, yes, I'm not very. It's a miserable time of year for me. I'll be happy the next 2 weeks when the Jags are gone.
This is personally about you because you've
got
to cover.
I've got a football coach.
I
got a football coach who's about to get fired. I got basketball season beginning, so I've got all of this stuff.
But
so
I thought Jeremy was standing by his man. That's not happening?
That's a one. It's week to week.
Oh, is that week to week?
He could get fired. I think he's getting fired on Sunday or Monday.
Do you?
Yeah.
What if it's close? What if it's 21-19?
Maybe keep him. I don't know.
I think they should really think long and hard about this. Anyway,
That's
not what this show's about.
Are you a Georgia fan or Florida State fan?
I'm a Florida State
fan. Well, if you're a Florida State fan, then you want him to stick
around. Think long and hard. Think long and hard, Jeremy.
It's like Bobby Valley.
Show some commitment.
Florida fans didn't want to see Bobby showing the door. Or his kid. They wanted the kid to be
OC. But you know what the difference was? I was okay with that because Bobby had won a couple of titles and a whole lot of games, and Will Muschamp hadn't really done squat.
Yeah.
11-2. Hang your hat on that.
Ugh.
There you go.
Hang your hat on that. All right.
All right. Moving on. It's
Jags, 1-7.
Jags.
Midway point.
Yes.
In the season.
Halfway point. Were you expected? Worse than you expected. Better than you expected.
Worse.
Oh,
no,
God,
this
I hope
is
it's
worse.
Not better than you expected.
No, it's worse. I thought they'd be better offensively, even with Blake. I thought they would be able to run the ball with more consistency than they have. Now, the last 2 weeks have been pretty solid. And then, I thought they would win some of these games. I mean, I thought Tennessee was a winnable game. I thought Pittsburgh was a winnable game.
Defense has finally played like we expected.
Four
them to, right?
straight
kept them
weeks,
in games.
Despite a number of injuries. Now they got another one with Will Blackman down. But four straight weeks, they've played well enough to win. And given an average offense in the NFL, they win three out of those four probably.
I would agree with that. And that just an average offense right now because
the Bucs offense, they probably win 3 out of 4.
Take the pick sixes out
Tennessee's
of the equation
offense,
in the last
they
month.
Win 3 out of 4.
The defense has given up less than 12 points a game. Just the defense.
Right.
You add some pick sixes in there and the overall scoring average, the opponents goes up.
And this isn't a scenario where the opponent, like in 2011, Jacksonville's offense, 2011, maybe 2012, where Jacksonville's offense was so awful. Where Maurice Jones-Drew, no, it was 11. Where Maurice Jones-Drew was the only positive in a doomed season, and I think Blaine was starting at that point. And,
first time he's been called that.
I know.
I think,
couldn't move the ball, and an opposing offenses. Once they got to 17, that was it. They shut it down. That's not the case this year. I mean, I think teams are unable to score on this defense because of what the defense is doing. It's not because of their approach.
I agree with you.
Where in 2011, I really felt like teams came in and said, if we don't turn it over or do anything stupid, we'll win this game because Jacksonville's that inept offensively.
Right, you go into a shell in the second half, you play field position, all that stuff. And
yeah.
in here,
shut it down.
It's really been more the first half, it's almost like they wear down at a certain point, you know, and they didn't wear down much this week. Again, the, you know, 14 of those points weren't on them.
Right.
But they do have some bright spots now with Denard finally, you know, getting the running game going. So they've got a guy.
Allen Robinson has been a bright spot.
Allen Robinson has been a very bright
Clay
spot.
Clay Harbor has been a bit of a bright spot.
Right. Not over the top,
no.
But, you know, giving
no,
you some
a good,
solid play.
Good stopgap guy to get you between before Mercedes comes back.
You've had five different guys each of the last 2 weeks have explosive plays. I know they determine explosive plays to be, I think, 12-yard run, 16-yard pass, but most people look at 20-yard plays as explosive plays. So just on that standard, which is an even higher standard, they've had five different guys offensively each of the last couple of weeks have explosive plays. So there's some movement. They're moving the ball. Tony, what do you call the area once you get past the opponent's 40?
I'm calling the area between the opponent's 20 and midfield the dead zone right now.
They get there. They've been getting there quite a bit.
Yeah.
When they get there, they
sort of bogs down a little bit.
It bogs down, you know, a missed throw, a missed route, whatever the case may be. It's been a variety of different things that's been conspiring to
turnovers.
Keep them off. Block field goals. I mean, yeah, all kinds of things. I mean, that
penalties.
Right. I mean, and this is a team that, if you're going to get into that range, has got to come away with points. And, you know, even kicking some of those field goals against Miami, maybe you're not feeling, you know, the need to stick it in there. If Blake connects on that play with Allen Robinson,
put a little pressure on him.
Yeah, it's maybe a different story. You don't have a good feeling about the trip to Cincinnati.
I don't. I said this on the radio yesterday. I don't have a good feeling at all. I just think that they're going on the road. So next week they're leaving straight from Cincinnati. So this week, you know, agree or disagree, they've got a lot of logistical things that they got to accomplish before London, and I think if you're a guy with a family, if you're a guy with a girlfriend, if you're a guy with a house, a cat, a dog, you got stuff on your mind this week. You know, you got things you've got to take care of. And, you know, they're not going to take care of themselves, and you got to do it. And I just think some of that stuff can take away from your preparation in terms of Cincinnati.
I have all those things except a cat and a dog, all right? And I feel like I've brought it. All 2 days that I've been here this week.
Yeah, but you're not up watching tape on the Bengals.
Okay, how do you know?
I know. I do know. Tony's the only one in this room who watches, who
he
breaks
watches,
it down.
He watches the tape.
He watches a lot of tape.
He watches
he's
the all
watching,
22.
I've been watching tape Cincinnati as today.
We,
yes.
As we speak,
the
he's watching.
Film is what he's doing.
Don't call it film. Spurrier would.
Why do you call it tape? It's not tape.
It's video. You watch, you call it video.
You can, but that's not tape.
That's
it's not on tape.
Video
anymore.
Is more accurate than
it's
tape.
It's digital pixels flying across your screen, whatever the case may be. But isn't there a benefit, though? I understand there are a lot of rookies. We're just counting how many rookies have started for this team this year. 10 that we could
Well,
come
it
with.
Will be 10 this week.
Right, if Josh Wells starts.
Assuming
in place
Josh Wells starts in place of
so
Luke
Jokic. 9 have started.
Nine.
8 on offense, which
on offense.
Is absurd, really. I mean,
insane.
you can't find anything comparable to that in the National the Football
League
almost,
high by
in almost any year,
right? In almost any sport. I mean, it's not just. I mean, you know, go try to find a baseball team that fields 9
or
rookies,
a college football team that fields
sure.
all the freshmen.
You're not going to find it. Yeah, you're
right.
Just not going to find it.
But so you've got a lot of brand new guys who certainly haven't been through this before, but you also have a lot of guys that have made this trip. No benefit whatsoever to having that, you know.
Probably a coaching staff. I think it probably helps more that the coaching staff and the front office
you know?
Have been there, done that, and have a better feel. But I still think there's just a number of things that that can take away from your preparation. Maybe they don't. I hope they don't. And maybe Dallas is. Maybe this is. I'll turn it now. I'll be happy, Mark. Maybe this is where being in London for 4 straight years, you start seeing an advantage. You don't see it in year 1 because it's all new, but you start seeing it in year 2 because everybody's been there, done that, and then you see it even more so in year 3 and year 4 where, you know, you're facing teams that haven't been over there at all and you've been over there 3 straight years and whatnot.
Did you see the report from the London Daily
I did.
Mail, right?
$225 million? That
no.
one?
No.
Oh.
Which one are you talking
I'm
about?
I'm talking about the NFL.
I just said, have you seen
Sorry.
The report? He's like, absolutely.
Well, I see a lot. I see a lot of reports. I try to see them
see?
All. I saw the one where the NFL's investigation. The NFL's.
I don't know what you're looking for. I don't know what report you're
their,
talking about.
Their report, the NFL report, NFL-backed study, NFL study.
Impact study.
Impact study, $225 million would be the impact of having a franchise to the league, of having a franchise in London.
Yearly? Or one-time impact? What?
The initial impact, I believe.
Of having a franchise in London.
It might be yearly. It might be yearly. It seems high, doesn't it?
Well, no. I mean, it seems like if it's only $225 million, it seems pretty low, actually. You're talking about less than $10 million a team to have a franchise in London.
Annually?
No, I'm not saying if it's annually, it's a different story.
I think it's annually.
The one I was talking about was the London Daily Mail report that came out on Sunday that indicated there will be as many as 5 games next year. In fact, they did say there would be 5 London games.
And then the NFL came out and refuted it.
Have they refuted it?
They did.
Where did the London Daily Mail get that report?
I don't know.
I'm curious.
Probably the London people.
They've expanded it all along. I mean, it's not shrinking at this point in time, the London experiment. So it wouldn't surprise me, even though the NFL refutes it now, that's semantics. That nothing's set in stone.
Yeah, I'm with you. I would not be stunned at all if it ends up being 5 years. Clearly, the NFL wants a team over there full time.
It seems like it, right?
They did a study showing what the impact would be.
But then again, they've said that about Los Angeles, and I know they seem to be taking steps in that direction right now, and it seems more real than it has in a long time that a team like the Rams, the Chargers, or the Raiders could end up in Los Angeles. Maybe even a couple of those teams could end up in Los Angeles. But that's been out there for ever since they left Los Angeles, that somebody might return there. So, you know, you see all kinds of different projections on the whole London issue. We'll see how that whole thing plays out. It's a Metro Rooter Wednesday. If you want to get on board, you want to talk Jaguar football, 641-1010 is the way to do it. Mark Long does not feel very good about the chances of the Jags in Cincinnati. We're asking you today on the Fan Feedback Spotlight, which of the next 3 games do you feel the Jags have the best chance in, as they won't be back home at EverBank now for over a month. As they go to Cincinnati, go to London to take on Dallas, have the bye week, and then go to Indianapolis to take on the Colts. So that is your Tom Bush Family of Dealerships Fan Feedback question of the day. Which of the next 3 games do the Jags have the best chance to win, and why? Already gotten some interesting responses to that. You can tweet us at MD_1010XL, at AP Mark Long, at 1010XL Fat Tony, and at 1010XL Lauren. Metro Rooter brings you the show every Wednesday. Phone lines open to you at 641-1010. Jaguars today, just getting rolling on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. All right, Metro Rooter brings you the show every Wednesday for all size plumbing jobs. Residential, I've had them in my house doing great work for me. Had a toilet replaced, had a sink replaced, did excellent work, outstanding customer service as well. Commercial plumbing, industrial plumbing, septic systems, restaurant grease trap service, you name it. If it has to do with plumbing, Metro Rooter has the solutions for you. With same-day service, weekends included, the right people with the right equipment. That's why they've been serving you here in Jacksonville in the North Florida area since 1978. Visit MetroRooter.com or call 695-1911, 695-1911 for Metro Rooter, our Wednesday sponsor of Jaguars today. Mark Long from the Associated Press in. I'm Mike Dempsey along with Fat Tony. Lauren Brooks here with you every single day on Jaguars today. LB, how was Helmets and Heels last night?
It was so much fun. Thank you for asking. We had a blast.
Were the Garrards out last night, or was that last week?
Yes. No, they were there last night with us at Jackson Social, and we played the not-so-newlywed game with them. And by far the best answer that they had was, I asked David, or Blythe asked David, when you, basically, how did you know that it was love, right? When he met Mary. And it was when she loved the movie Beastmaster as much as he did.
Oh my. Wow.
They both, when they were 10 years old, separately, before they knew each other, would go in the woods with a stick and yell, like, movie quotes from Beastmaster.
That's amazing.
That's awful.
Right. It's one of those things.
Against him on a future broadcast.
So that was an awesome answer, yeah.
Dave, I know he listens quite frequently to Jaguars today. He's not in this week. He's taking the week off. So I won't see him for a couple weeks because I don't think he's making the jaunt over across the pond.
Wow.
That will be
you
used
You better write that
him.
One down. Till you don't
I think I'll remember that one, actually. I do believe I'll remember that. Tony, did you see the Marvel release yesterday?
I definitely did.
Yeah, all
I'm
the new Marvel
all
movies.
Geeked out.
I did not catch a Beastmaster in there.
No, there's no Beastmaster.
I don't know if that's a Marvel property.
But between Civil War and the Infinity War being split into two different pieces, they showed that shot of Thanos wearing the Infinity Gauntlet, and I almost lost my mind.
Three more Avengers movies, including the one we knew about
that's right.
next year.
Geek
that's
out
right.
for
what,
a moment what, with his Marvel.
What did I get into today?
I grew up
Wait,
on Marvel
we were talking
comics.
About Beastmaster
yes.
and David Garrard and his and
Blame
Mary
Garrard. Blame Warren.
And now we're talking about, this is the thing that I saw on Twitter with the, this, just this guy in this black suit.
Yeah.
That'd be Black Panther.
And you're freaking out over
T'Challa.
That? T'Challa. Oh my
yes,
God.
I am. I'm
our,
freaking
our,
out about the Marvel
what is
Universe
our world
announcements.
Come, what does our world come to?
Marvel Universe. It's no longer a world, it's a universe.
They're printing money. They make $1.4 billion every time they release a film.
Because you're a geek.
I basically
right.
learned
and there's
to
a number
read,
of geeks
reading
because
Marvel
nerds
comics.
Are in, Mark.
Nerds are where it's at. Nerds are your employers, man. That's you know,
I saw
you 20, mock them when you're young. And
I saw
they,
21 Jump Street. That was the
you.
Whole theme of the 21 Jump Street.
Was it?
They went back to, yeah. not the recent one, the first one, where they would go yeah. back to high school and... Yeah, everything's changed from when they were in high school.
The roles reversed. The nerds yeah. ran the school.
Nerds seen, ran I've only the school. Seen bits and pieces. I've heard it was funny, though.
The cool guys. Yeah,
they're both funny.
It was funny. I haven't seen the new one. Yeah.
I watched more of the second one. I don't know. It was just on TV one day. Saw part of it. One well, of those deals.
We also asked David who his wife would want to be as far as a celebrity goes, and he said Beyonce, which she shook her head. And then his second guess was Mother Teresa.
Oh, my
Because
well,
those are pretty similar, wait,
the
right?
The first answer was what David would like his wife to
yeah.
be if she were a celebrity.
That's
and
like,
I don't know what the second one was trying to make up some brownie points.
That's like missing wide right, and then the next one you shank left.
Yeah.
I mean, that is unbelievable.
I don't know if he really missed wide right in the first
well,
one.
Well, not in his head, but
the uprights.
In her head, she's shaking her head no.
Understood.
He didn't split the uprights.
Did we have an answer?
With the answer was actually Joyce Meyer, who's a pastor, but I did yeah. not know her. So he was actually
is,
closer with Mother Teresa than he was with Beyonce.
That is not the answer you want as a husband and father.
So we had a really good time.
All right, moving on. 641-1010 if you want to get in and guess if Mark were a tree, what tree would he be? by the way, Stevie Ray Vaughan and Double Trouble, Pride and Joy.
Yeah.
Is that joy or for happy,
nope.
happy Mark? Nope, nope. Okay, Stevie Ray Vaughan, got nothing.
All right,
right,
good.
Right there. So we'll
the way
move
it should
along.
Be.
It is it's back to normal is what it is. Yesterday was too easy. You put Jeff in the you know, in all the titles, and that was that's how much
he
we care
an
about
a.
Logman.
You put Logman yep. in all the titles
we
yesterday?
Get,
oh, I sure gosh. Did.
Nothing about Long here or wow. Mark, either way. So.
I said I was doing it to make the other co-host jealous, or at least attempt to make the other co-host jealous. Did it
yesterday?
Work, Mark?
Well, if I would have listened to it, yeah.
Yeah, see, that just goes to show he didn't listen yesterday. They boycott when Logman's on.
no, I did listen yesterday. I listened to Tim Tebow.
Did you?
I did.
Tebow Tuesday.
Your idol.
Tebow Tuesday. No, moving, I wouldn't say that.
Moving right along once again on the program. Let's talk about the current quarterback of your Jacksonville Jaguars. Blake Bortles, worst game, you know, a bad game followed by a worse game. I thought for Blake at this point, just normal, in your opinion, normal rookie struggles, the ups and downs of being a rookie quarterback or what?
Yeah, not only being a rookie quarterback, but being surrounded by rookies. I mean, he had three on the offensive line. He's throwing to two or three out there at any time. He's got a rookie tight end. Second year left tackle, second year right tackle, second year running back. I mean, you can go down the list. I don't think it's just Blake. I think it's Blake being put in a situation where, you know, everyone around him is equally confused by defenses and different looks and different things and this and that.
Is this the reason what we're seeing now, 12 interceptions, because of all these
league
aspects
high
around
12
him.
Interceptions,
right.
by the way.
All these things, and not starting, what is he, played five and a half games, right?
Yeah.
So all these things going on around him, the misfiring, the mistimings, is this why they wanted to... I'll use the word protect. That may not be the word they chose to maybe not start him as quickly. And everyone said, oh, you got to play him. You got to play him. He's got to play through this. Maybe, but they're, you know, and I'm not saying Blake seems like he is wilting in the least, from this, but this is something that can certainly rattle your confidence. I think if it continues at this pace, he seems like he's pretty, mentally tough. He seems like he's able to move on to the next play, and from everything we've seen around the building, on the field, all that seems to be true. So I'm not suggesting he is caving or anything like that, but is this, in your opinion, why they wanted to slow play it?
Yeah, I think you can definitely look at this and go, listen, they told you he wasn't ready. They told you from day one he wasn't ready, and they had to throw him in. But I'll say this, and Dave Caldwell said it after the game, he's ready. At this point, we know he's ready. He has shown it. You've seen it in certain games. You can go back and look at some of the throws he's made, some of the runs he's made, some of the audibles he's made. The guy's ready for this. He's not playing very well the last 2 weeks, but you got to believe he'll get it turned around and be better because of it. And what you said there about him not wilting, that's the thing they're hanging their hat on right now. He's unfazed. He's unfazed by it. Now, listen, he's pissed about it. Don't get me wrong. And he's frustrated and whatnot, but he's unfazed in terms of when he steps on the field, he's not thinking about that last interception or trying not to make another interception. I mean, they're not changing the way they're calling plays and directing things because of his struggles. And that's a credit to them and a credit to him. You know, you don't have to look very far. And, you know, what they're going to do in Gainesville this week is they got a new quarterback in the way. And what they're telling him? Whatever you do, don't turn the ball over. Whatever you do, don't turn the ball over. You know how that's going to go? That's going to be horrible because you can't play quarterback in any league if your one thought process is, I can't turn the ball over.
You can't make plays.
No, you can't make plays. You can't drop back on 3rd and 5, 3rd and 6 with any confidence when you're thinking more about the rush and protecting the ball than getting it downfield. So you can't. So they're not, the fact that they're not doing that, they're not backing off. Go back and was it Mark Sanchez? Remember when the Jets, when he was struggling and the Jets put in the red, yellow and green?
Right.
Do you remember this?
Yeah.
Okay. They're not doing that here. They're not going to do that here. They're going to let the guy play, and he's going to play through this, and they're confident that he is. And if he doesn't play through it, then he's not the guy they think he is. But you've got to at least give him the chance to do that. And the fact that he's unfazed is that's the big coup de grace here.
What is the issue, the biggest issue, if there is one? Because they do seem to move the ball. They get across midfield, and they get in that range, and they misfire. Is it a case of, you're going to run X amount of plays with this many young guys, the law of averages catches up with you. If you've had 3 or 4 good plays in a row, you're kind of hit. Is that why they're hitting it in that area? Or is there something about them maybe pressing a little bit? I mean, certainly, you know, the interception he threw for the pick six to Louis Delmas, this is just a bad decision. He rolls left, doesn't get his feet squared. I don't know if he ever sees Delmas at all. Doesn't look like he saw him.
Delmas came off the fullback there in the flat, and yeah, I don't think he saw it. Delmas was covering Will T.
Yeah, he was.
He was in the flat, and Delmas read Bortles the whole way, and probably knew he wasn't thrown to the fullback anyway, and came off him and stepped in front of Nick Jacobs there. And actually, if Delmas doesn't, it's probably a completion for 10 yards there, but Delmas made a great play. I think a lot of that's the troubling one probably, is that one, because it's a repeat from the previous week where he rolled left and threw back across his body for an interception. So when you start making the same mistakes, that's what they've said from day one, is, you know, he's going to make mistakes, but he's got to learn from them and not repeat them. And that's the troubling one, because he repeated it. You know what I'm saying?
No, I do.
And the rest of them to me are just, I don't know that it's any part of the field or anything like that. I just think, you know, it's a little bit, it's bad luck, a little bit it's bad decisions, a little bit of it's, you know, not getting a ton of help from some receivers here and there. But again, when you're young all the way around, you know, one of them he got hit on, right? One of the interceptions.
Yeah. What are you talking about, overall?
Yeah, well, yeah. No, last week.
Last week on the first interception. He got hit.
Yeah,
right.
So, you know, there's always a little bit of something everywhere, you know, in terms of breakdowns.
Jed Fish said he'd like to see it kind of cut down to one a game. Basically cut in half.
Sure.
From where he's been right now. But like you said, I don't think they're going to ask him to play differently. But you've got to make you got to play differently in the aspect of, you've got to slow things. Things have to start to slow down for you have to make these better decisions, right?
Right.
It's not like they're going to call different plays. You just got to make better choices. As Jed Fish described the second pick six coming out of the half, he said it's a progression read. He went to the first guy, and I think Jed Fish, my reading of his comments, he tried to, as diplomatically as possible, not throw Blake under the bus by pointing out that, hey, there's nothing wrong with the play call here. You got to see that this guy is not open, and you got to move off that to your second guy in your progression. And if he does that and we get to that point, he's going to be fine because it was there for him if he kept his eyes moving. And, yeah, I don't know if he just wanted to get a quick completion coming out of the half or what, or he didn't see it and, you know, went the other way.
You're absolutely right. And I think, actually, the more I think about it, the more troubling one is the one where the fumble, because everything that he's been taught is to get down and slide. And we've been raving about his sliding ability and the fact that he's got a real knack for that, and coming from baseball and his baseball background, he's had a good feel for that. I mean, that one's, it's stunning that he did not. I mean, he had picked up plenty of yards.
He did, but that one's tough because it's not like you saw that guy. That guy comes out of your blind spot, right?
And I guess. Look,
if you're running and there's no one in front of you.
When you're a quarterback running, you've got to assume that how many, six of the 11 guys chasing you are faster than you?
But
maybe seven?
I get that.
Okay.
Maybe.
So probably seven, maybe eight or nine.
You gotta,
I'm taking
look,
Cameron Wake over Blake Bortles in a foot race. I'm taking Oliver Vernon in a foot
Olivier,
race.
Yeah.
Olivier Vernon in a foot race over Blake Bortles. So I'm gonna go with nine of the 11 guys on the field are faster than you.
When you're playing, you're not thinking like
well,
that.
Well, you though. Should.
When there's open field in front of you,
you
gotta,
when
that
all you've been
you
taught is
to
slide, slide, slide.
You gotta protect
slide.
The ball. I don't blame him for not sliding.
Slide.
I blame him for not putting
gotta
the ball
slide.
Away.
Gotta
you
slide.
Don't slide when there's nobody in front of you.
Gotta slide in this right. league. It's about sliding. Quarterbacks,
it's about
quarterbacks
sliding
are about sliding. Yes, quarterbacks in this league need the their first. It's not about picking,
so by,
sometimes
by your
it's
token,
about picking up the first down.
When a quarterback gets the first down, he should be sliding.
Third and three, he
right.
needs to pick up the first
Russell
down.
Russell Wilson shouldn't be running for 120 yards in those games. He should be sliding after
he
gets the first down.
If there's people bearing down on him, yes.
But if the guy's in your blind spot, you can't always
there
know.
There are other guys bearing down on him and not in his blind spot.
They didn't get the ball.
He needs to slide.
They didn't get the ball.
He needs to slide.
I mean, come on. I'm not saying he doesn't need to slide. I'm saying in that instance, when there's open
he
field in front of you
not,
and you're making a play and you're
hits.
A big guy, look. He
can't take those hits.
He didn't take a hit. The ball got poked out from him. There was no hit. The ball
he
got
was,
ripped out
he
of
was,
his arm.
He was about to take a hit before that. I mean, after the hit, he was going to take a hit. He needed to slide.
Look, you and I are just going to disagree on this. He needs to protect the football is what he does. He needs to do in that instance right there. You need to get yardage. You need to be smart. But when there's nobody in front of you, it's very tough to tell a competitor. You're not going to tell that to Russell Wilson, I don't think. I don't think you're going to tell Russell Wilson you're running.
How about in the middle of the field, too?
Right, like, but there's no
more,
one around.
That's
he's
even
running.
More reason to be sliding.
Look, you get down at the appropriate time, it's you got to be more aware of what's around you. The guy poked the ball out. The guy didn't put him in any kind of physical danger.
Got to be aware.
Did he get
you're,
blown
you're
up
not,
on the play?
Got to be aware that you're not going to outrun anyone at that point.
Sure
that
you are. Absolutely, because you got guys running upfield. You're running past them the other direction. You are going to outrun guys. You
no.
think Blake Bortles? Then Blake Bortles should never run, by your estimation, because nine of the guys are faster than him. Why bother to run?
I'm just saying, running down the middle of the field is dangerous. He should have gotten down. Got to get down.
You got to protect the ball.
Well, that too.
All right, that primarily.
But
if he has
if he
the
slides,
ball tight, when the guy pokes
if,
in at it, he can
he
get
slides,
down right then, and nobody's
going
to get hit. Oh, come on, stop it. All right, we're just going to agree to disagree on this one.
I got sent the video. Let me look.
At MD_1010XL, at AP Marco. Look at the video. We'll come
I'm
back.
I'm looking at it right
we'll,
now.
We'll come back. All right, what do you got?
Well, there was a guy coming at him, but he was 8 yards away.
Right! Thank
but
there, you!
But he's got to realize that there's a guy coming behind him.
Ah, you see? No, come on. Now, you can't have eyes in the back
yes.
of your head. Sometimes you got to make a play. He was making a play. You just got to protect the ball.
He had the first down.
I get that. You can have more than a first down. You can pick up additional yardage on top of that, right? Are you not allowed to do that? I think it's okay. He's a football player. He'll be all right. Had the ball popped out, all right? 6-4-1-10-10. We'll take a break if you want to weigh in on that or any aspect of Blake Bortles' play. We'll move off of that and talk about some other areas of the offense. As we pointed out, if Josh Wells starts this week in place of Luke Jokel, no word on that yet. That'll be 9 different rookies that have started on offense alone for the Jacksonville Jaguars this year. It's a Metro Rooter Wednesday, 6-4-1-10-10 if you want to get on board. Mike Dempsey, Mark Long, Fat Tony here with you. Jaguars today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
And now, this date in football history.
This date in football history presented by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. Yeah, I noticed your hair was a little wrecked today, too. I don't know what's going on with that. Ted Dickman has pointed that out as he walked by. Mark Long, the Associated Press.
My hair's longer than normal. That's the problem.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, I need to get it cut.
right. So do I. I get my cut every
this
week, whether I need it or not. This day in football history. I know, you're ready. He's like, let's move on for my hair. Remember Detroit's Wally Trippett, right? Not Triplett, Trippett. Everybody remembers him, right? On this date, 1950, October 29th, he established an NFL record. At the time, 294 kickoff return yards, since been broken by Tyrone Hughes, but he did it on four kickoffs. He averaged 73.5 yards
Holy
per
cow.
Kickoff return, a record that still stands, and I would imagine will stand as long as we're talking about like three or more kickoff returns. So I suppose there have been guys that have returned one for a touchdown that have
right.
popped that.
And that'd be it. But, man, that's crazy.
73.5 yards. That's called field position. We could use that right now, right? I mean,
yeah,
Todd has been okay returning kickoffs.
I'm surprised Sproles didn't do that at some point, or Metcalf.
Man,
or,
that's a bunch.
That's a lot.
That's a lot. That's a lot. This state in football history, and that's all you get today, is brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry on Gate Parkway. If you need the Stop Snoring Mouth Guard for you or a loved one, if you need cosmetic work done, if you're just in the market for a family dentist, call Dr. McCall's office, 620-9225, or visit jamesjmccall.com for a complete list of comprehensive care services. That is this date in football history.
Now, the Honda Drive Around the NFL, brought to you by your Jacksonville area Honda dealers.
Well, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers were busy on the final day before the trade deadline in the National Football League. The Bucs traded safety Mark Barron to the St. Louis Rams in exchange for a fourth and a sixth round draft pick. Barron was selected seventh overall out of Alabama by the Bucs in 2012 in the draft. That was the spot the Jags traded up from to acquire Justin Blackmon at number five overall. The Bucs also traded reserve linebacker Jonathan Casillas to the New England Patriots for a fifth-round draft pick. The Bucs sent a sixth-round pick to go along with Casillas in that deal. Champ Bailey, after a 15-year career, announced yesterday that he has decided to retire. Champ finishes his career with 12 trips to the Pro Bowl. He was a three-time first-team All-Pro with 52 interceptions, with four of those being returned for touchdowns. He was a first-team selection for the All-Decade team of the 2000s, which is selected by the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Most people expect that in 4 years he will probably getting his name called to go to Canton.
Yeah, whether he's first ballot or not.
Yeah.
Not going to have to wait too long.
He's first ballot, isn't he?
You don't know. I mean, it's
you don't know
tough,
what he's going to be up against.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So many guys, and you only get six in every year outside of the old-timers committee, what have you. You would think All-Decade team is just about enough to get anybody into the Hall of Fame. But we looked at that one day. There are plenty of guys. Leroy Butler, right here from Jacksonville, was All-Decade safety in the 90s, for instance.
Surprised the Jags didn't make any moves at the trading deadline?
No. No, because if they did, I think they'd be sellers.
Yeah, of
right?
course.
And who's
seller
knocking?
For a pick?
Who's buying? But what are you buying off of this roster right now? And I had people say, why don't we trade Gerhardt to New England? Well, New England's got to want him, you know,
right.
And they
the guy's just, banged up.
Right. They get this kid,
anything.
Jonas Gray, off the practice squad. He ran pretty well in the opportunities they've given him so far.
Isn't that crazy how that happens? Brandon Oliver, Jonas Gray.
Plenty of guys like that.
It's every year, guys just.
That position.
Yeah.
Denard Robinson. I mean, that's a fifth-round pick to play quarterback in college.
Right.
That's coming in, and he's rushed for 100 yards and back-to-back.
Look, Arian Foster, undrafted, he's one of the top five guys in the league when he's healthy, you know?
Right.
And you see it at that spot more than just about any.
Which is why that position's devalued.
Absolutely. It's really, I mean, you look.
Don't tell Maurice Jones-Drew that, but that position is devalued.
I fight that battle every week. All right. I really do. And now, not only do I fight that battle, oh, I don't know if you caught Matt Forte yesterday on NFL Live.
No.
They have an interesting relationship.
Yes, they
do. They're really good friends, but they won't acknowledge that they're friends.
Right.
It's all, you know, about one-upping the other guy. So, you know, I don't know the next time Maurice is going on NFL Live because he's not doing anything right now. So they have Forte on. He's promoting some fantasy football deal. And he called him that pesky little fellow who has little man syndrome. He said, we're not really friends. He's just a guy, you know, basically a guy who annoys me and says things about me, and then I have to say things about him. after that. And I've met Matt Forte in the presence of Maurice many times now. They really are tight, but that is how they are.
Publicly.
That's how they are privately. That's how they are behind the scenes. That's just how they are towards each other. But, I tweeted to Maurice in case he missed it.
Ah.
Didn't see any reply, however.
Yeah, well, of course not.
Not a whole lot to say, I guess, at this point in time.
When you're averaging 1.9, there's not a lot you can...
You talk about draft picks in general. I compare them to cars. You drive that car off the lot, and all of a sudden its value is down $2,000 or whatever.
Mark Barron.
Mark Barron!
Perfect example.
I mean, what was he? Top five, what was top six pick?
Six
top ten
six
pick?
Six or seven?
Eighth pick overall.
Yeah, he was eight.
Yeah.
He goes for a 4 and a 6.
Yeah.
Right. But, well, for one thing...
they got a fourth in that deal to when they drafted him. The Jags traded away the pick and a fourth round pick to move up with the Bucks in that deal. So,
so the Bucks for the fifth pick in the draft basically got 2/4 and a 1/6.
Yes.
I mean, so my point being, the draft picks are so incredibly valuable to these teams. They hate parting with them. But the second they're used on an actual person, you know, it's like it represents the unknown. What might we get? Maybe we'll hit on J.J. Watt with this pick. And, you know, once you get Mark Barron, you're like, wow, he's a really good run-stuffing, strong safety in a league that's really all about throwing the football for the most part, or, you know, heavily skewed towards that.
In the box, safeties are some of the easiest guys to find. Now, not game changers, but certainly a guy who can play down in and down out in the box, not that hard to find.
And he hasn't made many game-changing plays. You
no.
know, you thought coming out of Alabama, he was so good at Alabama, maybe he would be that guy.
There's a few guys who come out of Alabama. You think they look like world beaters in Alabama because they're surrounded by unbelievably talented guys.
Until this year, Mark Ingram fit that bill.
Sure.
First Heisman winner they ever had, Mark Ingram.
Well,
running with the anger and purpose this
who's
year.
Who's the cornerback? Dre?
Milner. D. Milner.
D. Milner.
Can't stay healthy.
Fitzpatrick's another one, too, right? Isn't he with Houston?
I forget who he's with.
Not Fitzpatrick.
Who are you talking about?
Thinking
of Ryan Fitzpatrick.
No, isn't it Dre Fitzpatrick?
Yeah, I think so. Something like that. Maybe
it's
Fitzgerald. Something like that, but
I don't know. We'll look.
Why
it up.
Am I? How have we forgotten this so quickly?
I don't know.
It just shows you what little impact he must have made. But yeah, the point being, Mark Barron, who was worth the fifth pick in the draft plus a fourth rounder. No, I've got that back. The eighth pick in the draft plus a fourth rounder. Whatever, however you look at it.
Kirkpatrick.
Drake Kirkpatrick.
There
yes.
you go. Close enough.
There you go. What has he done?
I don't know. He's with the Bengals. It looks like.
There you go. Well, that fits in nicely this week.
There you go. How do we not remember that?
Apparently, he's not doing much.
No. Good point. But, man, it's just it really just, you know, do we overvalue the draft picks? Do teams overvalue the draft picks? Or is it a case of, you know, you want that pick because if you do hit on that guy, obviously the Jags trade up, they thought they would have a difference maker. And maybe they would have if Justin Blackmon was able to stay on the field. Right? And maybe, you know, when you look back, you say, Justin Blackmon, wow, we gave up Mark Barron, who's being sent away after a couple of years for chump change, basically, for a top 10 pick and a fourth. I don't know what the Bucks turned that draft pick into.
I don't know either.
At the time, but regardless.
But the thing is, you're a fourth rounder. You're not expected, at least by Dave Caldwell standards, you're not expected to go get a starter. A first day starter with a fourth round pick.
No.
You know, you're looking at special teams, maybe a specialty player. So, I mean, that's.
But if you're a bad team, having those extra picks are valuable.
Sure, because
you're
hoping to hit on one of those guys. You're hoping to hit in the fourth round.
It's just that if you had, instead of drafting Mark Barron, if you had said, I'm going to have some foresight down the line, I'm going to take this eighth pick and I'm going to trade it for second round picks in the next three drafts,
sure.
Right? I mean, you could do that
Absolutely.
With practically any first round pick, and you'd be selling cheap, according to the chart or what the conventional wisdom would be.
Well, and again, I think it says more about the fact that Lovie Smith has come in, and I mean, I saw the numbers yesterday, but it's a staggering number of guys he's gotten rid of. I mean, they're down to, you know, 10 or 12 guys remaining in terms of drafted over the previous X number of years. I mean, it's. I think you get that with every new coach, but you're seeing Lovie Smith trying to put his stamp on this thing where he's trading guys away, dumping guys, getting rid of guys who maybe don't fit the scheme or fit what or aren't buying into, you know, what he's selling.
Do you think the trade deadline should be moved back? Bruce Arians said it should be moved back. I mean, I think it would make it a lot more exciting. And his point is, right now you got 26, 28 teams that
all
think they're all going to the playoffs. So nobody's a seller. Nobody wants to sell. But I think the NFL's point has been, we don't want to radically change the composition of a team on the eve of the playoffs or whatever. Let's say it's a month from now. Even if it's not the eve of the playoffs, it's the final month of the season to go. And you as a contender can cherry pick off of a bad team, but so what? Everybody else can too. If they're smart, you got to have the cap space to take that guy on. You have to have the willingness to trade away draft picks. You might have to have the surplus of draft picks to make that available. If you're smart and you manage your team well, why not?
It would put the teams with bad records, the losing teams, it would put them in some, give them a chance to rebuild faster.
Get something for a guy who maybe his contract's going to expire.
Baseball. Baseball is the perfect example. I mean, their trade deadline's very late, and you see a lot of movement at the trading deadline of people trying to dump salary, dump guys who are free agents at the end of the year, guys who can't help them for whatever, for future picks and for prospects.
And even with baseball, even if you don't get traded by the trade deadline, you can try to pass a guy through waivers,
sure.
And deals get done. Significant deals sometimes get done after the trade deadline. Very different than the makeup of the National Football League. All right, if you want to get in, 641-1010, we'll come back and get on Jag Cincinnati and how we think they might match up against this team. Will A.J. Green play or not? Don't know yet. We've got a couple callers on the line, and we will get to you straight ahead as well. It's 641-1010. Mike Dempsey, Mark Long, Fat Tony here with you. Jaguars today on a Metro Rooter Wednesday on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. This is Joe Fortunato's new favorite, Lisa Loeb. Is it Loeb? Is that how you say it?
Oh, the girl with the glasses.
I do.
Cutie.
Is the name of the song.
I would.
All right. Well played, sir. I got to admit.
Are they from Cincinnati or something? What is going on?
Nothing. Well, do is what I've got.
Do.
I do anything for love. I do. And because the letters D-O appear in consecutive order, that's how Lauren rolls. I'm guessing it's something to do with the letters D-O or the word
no
D-O.
But
it's pride and joy.
if you want a little bit of a hint, Tony was closer.
Right, double trouble.
They're from Ohio.
No they're from, but you're Cincinnati. Closer on the theme. They're not from Cincinnati. They're not from Ohio.
They're from London.
They're not from London. they're from where? Keep going.
Key Biscayne.
Hits from the 90s.
Oh, my gosh.
I'd do anything for love might be. Was that 90s or 80s? Even?
I don't know.
That might be late 80s.
Might be.
I don't know.
I don't know. I was guessing.
We're playing Cincinnati.
We were discussing how bad they were in the 90s.
I'm saying is you were close on your music theme. That's all I'm saying.
All right. Moving on. 641-1010.
We discussed how bad they were in the 90s off air.
We did
though.
Do that off air.
She listens.
Full on off air conversation.
Thanks.
It wouldn't be the first time an off air conversation contributed
this is true.
To the theme for the day.
Correct.
All true. All right.
All right, moving on. John the Baptist up next here on Jaguars Today. Good morning, John. How are you?
What's going on, brother?
What's up?
All right, so check it out. I got two questions regarding receivers who are inactive with the Jaguars. Number one is Tandon Doss. What's the word on him?
Okay,
Number two is why? I mean, with as much integrity as the Jaguars have, with this organization, they have made over 300 transactions ever since GM with Dave Caldwell coming in and Gus Bradley. Why haven't they decided to cut Justin Blackmon? Those are my questions. Cowboys, peace.
Have a good day, John. Go in peace. For Tandon Doss.
Tandon Doss is out for the season.
Yes.
Yeah, broke, or he's real bad ligament damage there. I don't think he broke anything, but it was
IR'd
real
him.
Bad
yeah.
High ankle sprain, and they IR'd him early in the year, I think, going into the season opener. I think he was in the final roster cuts just because he was going to be out a while, and they liked what they had at receiver.
Who knows if he contributes nothing at receiver? He led. Was it the league or the AFC?
I think he led the NFL in punt return.
It was the
NFL and punt return average last year.
An average punt return.
That alone could have been a nice pickup. People say, oh, why aren't you doing anything? Well, they did. You can't predict if a guy is going to get hurt.
And the reason they went out
at that job.
And the reason they went out and got him, too, not only did they need a receiver, but also they knew A. Sanders was going to be suspended for four games. So they go out and get Tandon Doss to maybe, sub in there.
Number one reason Justin Blackmon has not been released. He's good.
He's very good. And he's still...
potentially...
the best receiver on this team and potentially could be back.
There you go. I mean, at the very least...
At the very least,
if you didn't even want him back in the locker room, which every indication is he was liked in the locker room, was a good guy, had not good behavior. Okay, but in terms of being, he wasn't like a miserable so-and-so that nobody liked being around, that kind of thing. People right. actually liked him. He wasn't a cancer in the locker room to anyone else. He was a cancer to himself, okay, and therefore became a cancer to the team because he couldn't be counted on, couldn't be trusted. But even if it got to the point where he said, all right, he's through a suspension, we can't have him back in this locker room, well, Mark Barron goes for a 4 and a 6. Justin Blackmon go for a 4 and a 6. Right? I mean, seriously. I mean,
yeah.
There's no,
nobody's going to trade for a suspended guy, though.
No, but I'm saying if he got reinstated and you decided you didn't want him back on your roster, isn't there some team out there that would take a chance on that guy's talents as young as he still is? I mean, why cut him? Just pragmatically, there's no benefit to cutting him.
The only benefit to cutting him, and this kind of gets to this question, the only real benefit to cutting him is the PR aspect of it,
okay.
is that every time Justin Blackmon, his name gets thrown out there or he gets in trouble, it's Jacksonville Jaguars receiver. So if you can handle that, and the Jags have made it very clear that they can handle that, they'll deal with that, then there's no reason to cut him, because as long as you have him, and as long as he's suspended, he's not counting against your cap. You're not paying him a dime. His clock isn't ticking on his contract. It's on pause. So all of those reasons, if he does come back, you get first right of refusal in terms of you get to look at him. You get to bring him in. You get to see, is he a changed person? Is he in good football shape? Can he help us win? And if all the answers are yes, then you put him back on the field. Because financially, you're not like in over your head with him. You're not so committed to him that it's going to break the bank like the Rams were with or are with Sam Bradford.
Right.
It's a pretty modest contract. So from that standpoint, when he was on the field, even last year, this time last year, he was the best player on the field. By the way,
the clock doesn't run while he's suspended on that contract.
No.
So
he's still got he's still got 2.5 years.
Right. Left on that deal. So plenty of reasons. To me, the PR when I see those stories, I don't think, man, those shameful Jaguars. I think, man, Justin Blackmon really screwed up. Right? That's me, and maybe the outside, but I think that's a small negative compared to the potential positive, no matter what percent you put on realizing the positive.
And the other thing is, here it is, Justin Blackman's in a time of need. It's very clear. So if you go cutting him right now, you're essentially turning your back on him and saying, listen, we don't care about you. We're not trying to help you. We're moving on. And that's not the way to handle anybody. And I know we've talked about this, Mike, on the air, off the air. They would probably handle that with a guy who wasn't talented, but the fact that he's really, really talented and they're invested in him, they're not going to do that.
And that's why I say the number one reason is he's good.
No question.
And that's the top reason. Those other things are certainly considerations, but I don't know if the same consideration as you just said is extended to the 49th man on the 53-man roster.
Right.
Steven, you're up next here, 641-1010, the number. Good morning, Steven. How you doing?
Hey, good morning, fellas. I got something that's really been annoying me for some time, and you just hit on a couple of them, was Blackmon and Sanders, who can't seem to stay on the field because they're on the junk. But the other thing...
Okay.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. The other thing is the injuries. I just don't get it, and I'm sorry for the sarcasm, but it's just a frustration. It seems like Allen Robinson and Marquise Lee must have fallen off the stage at Radio City Music Hall, because they've been hurt from the very beginning.
What are you talking about? Allen Robinson was hurt in the offseason.
He's played every game
this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, but and Cecil just tweaks himself.
Well, wait a minute. You're just going to go right past the fact that you're completely incorrect about Allen Robinson, or you're going to retract that about him?
Well, that's why I asked you your opinion. Tell me about Allen Robinson.
Well, you didn't. You made a statement that said Allen Robinson is always hurt, and yes, he was hurt in the off season. I mean, all right, go ahead. What's your point about this?
The wide receivers
have suffered injuries.
My point is, I don't understand, and that's why you guys are down there. I've been down and I've seen the practices. They go out for 2 hours, they lay on the ground for an hour and stretch, and then they get up and they got 100 guys, you know, so you get one chance to run at half speed. the linemen, what they do with the ball snap, stand up and touch each other, and then practice is over. You know, I don't understand how the people can get hurt so much. I understand the game with Puzzlefty. That was clearly an injury, but these athletes in the prime of their career, they just can't stay on the field.
Okay. And I forget thanks, Steve. Appreciate it. Non-contact injuries happen all the time. Lamar Houston.
Yep.
Just tore his ACL jumping up celebrating a sack. They happen all the time. These guys stress their bodies. It's not like you and I going out there standing up. These guys, it's not like they're not running. Receivers are running full speed routes all the time.
Yeah, I mean, there's a trend certainly where receivers in this league are have a lot of soft muscle, soft tissue injuries. So, you know, that's nothing new. That's nothing specific to the Jags. But he's right. You know, listen, Cecil, he's right in terms of Cecil Shorts hasn't been able to stay on the field, but give Cecil credit for, you know, being able to stay on the field the last few weeks. And maybe, you know, if he plays the rest of this season injury free, people will forget about those, you know, what happened in the preseason in the first couple weeks of the season.
Go back to Isaac Bruce's first couple years on the league and he's never going to stay healthy. His hamstrings are terrible. This guy is never going to fulfill his potential. And then he became a borderline Hall of Famer. Fred Taylor, same thing. Fragile Fred.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, it happens. These guys get hurt. And I get it. Some injuries are more devastating. Fred wasn't hit when he tore the groin muscle off the bone. So does it really matter if it's in the game or if it's in practice? If you're running, if you're stressing your body, you can get soft tissue injuries. It happens. I mean.
Yeah, and some of these guys, I would think with Marquise Lee and Allen Robinson, both guys who were injured in the offseason, you know, they didn't give their bodies a rest. They play all year. They come in, they train for the combine, they train going into the draft, and then they're immediately, the following week, they're here for a rookie minicamp, and then the offseason begins. And that's never been the case for those guys in their careers. Matt Jones, remember the receiver, Arkansas quarterback turned receiver, same thing. Came in here, and you're probably used to letting your body heal a little bit, and you come in from college to this situation where you're constant during the off season, running, and it probably takes a little bit of a toll. And Cecil Shorts, you know, there's a significant belief or a widespread belief in this building that Cecil doesn't give his body time enough to heal. He's a guy who is always on the grind, always pressing. He's at all these camps in the off season, trying to get better, trying to work his trade, and he's at the Larry Fitzgerald camp, this, that, and the other. And so there's a real chance here that Cecil needs to start giving his body a chance to kind of rest and then rehabilitate before he comes back and goes hard again.
No, we'll ask about this.
Cecil.
Dr. Stephen Lucy, the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute.
The whole time I'm thinking I'm ruining our next segment,
by
the way.
No, you're not ruining it.
I keep looking over there.
We may be idiots. I was looking
to see if he was rolling his eyes at anything I said,
all right,
but he didn't.
Let's get Ryan in before we break. Hey, Ryan, good morning. You're on Jaguars Today. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. How's it going? I was calling because, you know, going back to just talking about drafts and stuff, that obviously there's always a great emphasis on the first and second round picks. But do you guys just happen to know, for the sake of knowledge, is there a particular position or set of positions in which the draft class tends to be more successful rather than, say, like, you know, quarterbacks are going to be boom or bust. Most of the times they're going to be bust. Running backs are now being downgraded into the, you know, second and third round spot. And so, again, I just didn't know if there's anything out there, like, are linemen or cornerbacks typically more successful within a draft class than some of these other big top positions?
Yeah, that's a good question. When the Jags were drafting top five 2 years ago, last year, 2013, and they chose Luke Jokel, Tony Khan gave us some numbers on that. And the one position that was most likely to land a Pro Bowler was offensive tackle, picking in the top 10 and even in the top 5. So it had played out over the course of time that if you're taking an offensive tackle, a left tackle, in the top 5, in the top 10, you're more likely to get a Pro Bowler than any other position.
But that is probably because they're easier to project their skill set than anything else. What they do is very similar.
Translates.
It translates. But at the same time, you have to have Pro Bowl potential raw material to be drafted. So in any given draft, if there aren't those guys, then it really doesn't matter what the history says, right? I mean, just typically, I understand the big picture, but just because of that doesn't make mean, because I'm drafting you as an offensive tackle, means you are going to be more successful. You've got to be the guy that fits that profile and that projection. So, but yeah, I would agree with that. Anecdotally, even offensive linemen seem to be a little bit safer.
Yeah,
selection.
And I would think, I think probably defensive linemen would be second, and then, you know, quarterbacks are way down
but
there.
Quarterbacks are way down, but
along
if you don't
with
get,
receivers.
If you don't get your quarterback in the first round, the percentage of finding a multi-time, long-time Pro Bowl franchise guy outside of the first round, and you can all set the example of Tom Brady all you like. You can talk about Russell Wilson all you like. You can
Tony
talk
Romo.
About you're talking about Drew Brees, who's a very high second-round pick. Out of how many quarterbacks that were drafted after round one?
I over mean, the over the course of time,
right?
Yeah,
tons of those guys. So you can certainly there are those examples, but the statistics weigh extremely heavily in favor of taking one in the first round.
Yeah, no question. In fact, last week with the Dolphins coming to town, I saw a stat where Chris Clemens and Cameron Wake rank both in the top 10 in sacks for undrafted players of all time in the NFL.
Pretty good.
Yeah,
good
real
stuff.
Good.
By the way, World Series Game 7 tonight here on 92.5 FM only. The Fishing Forecast and Compton & Company will air on 1010 on the AM dial. So we got you covered, whatever you're looking for tonight. If you want Game 7 of the World Series, see if it's more competitive than Game 6 was, you'll hear it on 92.5 FM. It's a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Jaguars Today continues in a moment on 1010 XL, 92.5 FM. I'm lost, Lauren. You got us. What do you got? What is the theme
today?
Edie Brickell and the New Bohemians.
I know, but what's the name of the song?
What I Am.
What I Am.
Yeah. I Do. I. Is it all about me?
It's I.
No.
No.
No. Remember to always think about the question of the day, the Tom Bush Family Dealerships Fan Feedback Spotlight question of the day, which was, which game do you think the Jaguars are going to win over the next stretch, most likely to win?
Indy.
I picked Dallas. These are all bands from Dallas. See, I told you, Tony, you were close.
Indy starts with I. I was lost, obviously. All right, there you
go. But you're my pride and joy.
Bands from Dallas. Am I your pride and joy? Thank
you. Sure, why not?
Why not?
You know, if you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all.
Oh, he's going to keep it quiet.
I'm just going to be quiet over here.
I liked my theme, so.
All our mouths are shut now.
Take that, Mark, and now you're not allowed in the studio next week.
It was excellent. That's right. You're going to go visit Lauren maybe next week because the AP is too cheap to send you to London. How about that? Let's welcome in Dr. Stephen Lucy, one of 31 physicians at Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, the exclusive sports medicine providers for your Jacksonville Jaguars. JOI is Jacksonville's Orthopedic Institute. Hi, Dr. Lucy. They're keeping you busy, aren't they?
Always.
Yeah, I guess so. Let's get into a few different issues here. First, the thing we were just talking about a minute ago. I mean, we're just laymen here. You're probably rolling your eyes at half the things we say when it comes to injuries. In your experience, has it gotten worse over time? We see a lot of non-contact soft tissue injuries. Certainly, to the caller's point, I think he was trying to make, in the off season. It's nowhere near as strenuous as it used to be. The rules don't allow it anymore. Are the players softer? Why are we seeing so many guys get these muscle pulls and ligament damage and what have you?
You know, I don't think anybody's more frustrating than the people inside the stadium down here, the coaching staff and the strength and conditioning staff. They do a lot of programs and efforts to prevent these things. They seem to come in spurts. I think part of the problems we've been seeing here is we had a lot of new guys that were trying to impress and were maybe going 100% where the Wiley veterans might be going 80% in practice. So some of that is the new guys trying to impress. And as you guys aptly said, it's the new guys not quite adjusting to the pro program and how to rest their body and how to take care of their body. Plus sometimes these things just happen in waves. The guys are strong, they're fast, and they just generate forces that tear muscles.
Is that what, I mean, guys now are so much more physically fit than they were even 20 years ago, I think. You know, on the average across the board, are they stressing their bodies beyond reasonable level sometimes?
Oh, they absolutely are. These guys are constantly in training. Their muscles are much stronger. If you even go back 10 years, I think they're much more physical. And then the things we've seen, not that any of these athletes are taking performance-enhancing things, but we see this all the time in our average weekend warrior that may be on a little extra testosterone. I did some surgery on some in the past couple of weeks, that they get their muscles so strong they start tearing the tendons. So when the muscles overpower, get so powerful, some injuries that normally wouldn't occur occur.
Luke Jokel in the concussion protocol, what does that consist of? What is he facing this week to try to get back and clear to play?
Well, again, there's a pretty set program. Is right at the first of the week, they're going to go through a neuropsychological test. If you flunk that, then that's chances are you're not going to play that week. If you pass that, then you have to be symptom free. No fogginess, no headache, no dizziness, because the back to sport doesn't start until you're symptoms free. So if he walks in, he passed the test, he says, I feel wonderful, and then he has a good week, there's a chance he can play. If he's still got a headache, if he doesn't do so good on his reaction time in the test, then chances are we'll have to wait it out another week.
I don't think the Jags have had a single player under Gus Bradley's tenure anyway, come back and play the week after a concussion. I think they've all missed at least one game.
Yeah, and they've made it a little bit harder in the NFL for protection of the players. But it is possible, but it has to be that little ding, the little bell ringer that in the old days you get to play in the second half, that you were cleared by the end of the day and were mad because they held you out. Those are the ones that can play, but any of the more significant ones probably aren't going to be back.
Alan Ball on injured reserve now with a biceps injury. How tough is that? Is that, you know, like any other muscle, if you give it time to repair, he should be, you know, able to bounce back to full strength, or what are we looking at here?
You know, the biceps tears in two places generally. Down by the elbow when it tears, it almost always requires surgery, and that's usually a 3 or 4 month deal to get back. When it tears up at the shoulders, sometimes you can go with it, sometimes you opt to have it repaired. If you opt to just go with it, you have a little deformity in the biceps, and you can get back in a few weeks. If it's repaired, again, it's 3 months. But on all of these, generally, you're back pretty much to full speed. It's not going to be a lingering injury.
You're doing TV today, aren't you?
Not this week.
No? No TV this week?
Not this week.
You just look sharp in general.
Yeah, well, he always does.
I mean, you got a nice collection of ties.
Got a little orange and blue going on today.
No, still interviewing to get back on that fantasy TV show, see?
You see, hey, look, you know, talk to the boys over at CW17. I'm happy to have you anytime you like. Dr. Stephen Lucy, one of 31 physicians with the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, the exclusive sports medicine providers of your Jacksonville Jaguars. JOI is Jacksonville's Orthopedic Institute. Dr. Lucy, thanks. We'll see you soon.
See you.
All right, there he goes. Come on over. We'll talk to you. All right, today we asked you in the fan feedback spotlight. I forgot what the question was, but now I remember. Jax went on the road, or going on the road, Cincinnati, Dallas, and London, bye week, and then at Indianapolis. Which of these are the Jags most likely to win, and why? Tony, what do we get?
Lauren picked Dallas. That was the theme of the day that Mark enjoyed so much. From Matt, we got Cincinnati, because they have the 30th overall defense, and Indy's offense is number one in Cincinnati 16.
That's pretty good. Good reasoning.
Battle of the Cats. From Paolo, we got Dallas because I don't think Romo will be healthy enough to play us in London. From Irish Jag, we got Dallas.
What's going on with you over there?
I don't know.
Get that man a water.
Bortles has never lost the game that I've attended. Hashtag science. From Eric, we got Cincinnati. Gettable in the secondary. AJ coming off an injury, and Blake will bounce back.
Reggie Nelson's in that secondary.
Yes, he is. The eraser.
It's not gettable.
From Brandon, we could win all three.
Simmer down.
All of them are faltering, even with AJ Green coming back. From Alex, we got Jags most likely to win Cincinnati game because I believe team is playing with a lot of confidence right now. From Josh, we got I'm going Dallas mainly because their annual choke has begun. Run D will shut down Murray and Bortles will shine.
I'll take
their annual joke.
From Duval Doom, we got the Cowboys. We got a lot of people believing in their chances against Big D. They'll win in London and stick it to us again. Hashtag 3 wins in 3 years at home. From Joey, Jags will beat the Cowboys. The boys are banged up. B2 plays okay, and it's a W. Hashtag VE Day. Victory in Europe. Hashtag let the kid run. And from Richard, we
and
got
slide.
All of them because Jags, baby. Hashtag rookie's gonna rookie. Hashtag Bortles combat. And finally, one in DeVille says, chance at all three. Cincy defense not very good. Dallas has Romo questions and Jags better than first. Indianapolis game. Hashtag half full.
All right, I guess so. Glasses half full. The Todd Bush Family of Dealerships brings you the fan feedback spotlight, and that includes Tom Bush Volkswagen, Tom Bush Mini, Tom Bush BMW, Tom Bush Mazda. Check out TomBush.com for more information the next time you're in the market for a new or pre-owned vehicle, or play along, and play along for that matter, on Twitter every day and on Facebook with the question of the day for a chance to win a Jaguars Today t-shirt. Some good answers. We'll give away some apparel a little bit later on. All right, Mark Long, as we get ready to wrap up.
What's that thing that Hicken and Prosser do every morning?
I don't know. Excuse the nuisance?
No.
What do they do? I don't know.
I don't, you don't, a lot do you of things that idea? They do. It's like where they play the music and they go back and forth about.
They play the news theme, and then he says, "You've been drilled." He yells it. Is that what you're talking about?
At the end of the program?
No.
Talk about
we're not
talk?
On the same page
shop
today.
Shop talk. I think we need to start treating that as shop talk. So we, you and I can talk over him going through there.
We can
just add in our 2 cents. All right.
From now on,
I think that was a much better segment when you and I were involved.
more production value. I think. Yeah. Well, he gives us plenty of openings.
Right? Well, like, you know, we can make
sign and coughs.
Well, we can.
Oh, I know.
And we can make fun of the. You know, I think it's fun to make fun. Fun to make fun of people.
The Bengals.
We need to make.
Are the best.
That was
chance.
Did anybody say no Poor chance Tony. Of winning any of them?
No, nobody said that. We got believers listening to this show.
Come on, we're believers.
What are you
here?
Talking about?
I'm
Mark?
The only negative Nancy.
You're picking them to lose by like 40 against Cincinnati this week.
Man,
they're in trouble.
Jags plus
Gus
11.
Gus is sick. You're
right?
Sick.
Yeah, it got bet down. It opened at 13.5. It's been bet down to 11.
See?
Believers,
man.
In the road Jags.
Absolutely.
Denard Robinson, Blake Bortles.
Why not?
Maybe they know Reggie Nelson.
Reggie?
Somebody didn't like Reggie.
I think they got a chance this week. I mean, honestly, I've watched a couple games from Cincinnati during the show. I went back and watched one when A.J. Green was healthy just to get an idea of the difference for Cincinnati between the two, and then watched last week's game against Baltimore. I don't think they're that much better even than Cleveland was. I think they're better in spots than Cleveland is, especially when A.J. Green is good enough to go. But they're not that much better than that
Cincinnati.
Cleveland team was. That's what I'm saying.
You're saying Cincinnati's not that much better than Cleveland.
I really don't think they are. I think the Jags have a chance this weekend, but they got a lot going against them. I mean, Alan Ball is now gone for the season. You're talking about Jeremy Harris probably having to expand his role in this defense this week with Will Blackman being out.
Well,
Muhammad Sanu's been so
if
good.
If A.J. Green plays,
right.
Then you're really talking about it. And that's part of it, too, which Cincinnati is going to show up. The one that gave up 37 points to Carolina 3 games ago, the one that scored 0 against Indy a couple weeks ago, or the one that had their backs to the wall after those two performances and pulled out a pretty good win against the Baltimore Ravens in a key division game. You know, you don't know. And I think the Jags probably don't, if Cincinnati plays at their best, I think they'll win the football game. Put it that way.
Yeah, so, I'm with you.
There you go. Mark expects them to play at their best or at a level approaching that based on comments from earlier today. At AP Mark Long, go cover whatever it is you're going to cover
Bortles.
With RV City and the whole company. I know you're doing Blake Bortles today, but
RV City.
RV City, man. It's Georgia Florida week.
Yes, it is. RV City. I heard it.
What did I say? I
you
said RV
you
City.
You said
right?
RV City.
Yeah,
I don't know what you heard.
Yeah. I heard RB.
Why don't you get out of here? This segment's better without you, Mark.
It's better when Tony just talks over you. All right, that's going to do it for us today on a Metro Rooter Wednesday. We won't see you next week. Have a good week while we're gone. Enjoy covering the Will Muschamp saga over there in Gainesville. That should be fun. I hope it extends on for a long, long time. So, for Mark Long, for Fat Tony, for Joe Fortunato, and for the lovely and talented Lauren Brooks, that does it for Jaguars Today. XL Primetime next on 1010XL 92.5 FM.